The clerk, in letting Scrooge's nephew out, had let another in. He was a portly gentleman and pleasant to behold, and now stood with his hat off in Scrooge's office. He bowed to him.
"Scrooge and Marley's, I believe. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?"
"Mr. Marley's been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night."
"Oh, I am sure his liberality will be well represented by his surviving partner. At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable to make some slight provision for the poor and destitute who suffer greatly at the present time. Many thousands are in want of common necessaries. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comfort, sir."
"Are there no prisons?"
"Oh, plenty of prisons."
"And the workhouses, are they still in operation?"
"Oh, they are. I wish I could say they were not."
"The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigour, then?"
"Both very busy, sir."
"Oh, I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their usual course. I'm very glad to hear it."
Seeing clearly that it would be useless to pursue his point, the gentleman withdrew, and Scrooge resumed his labours with an improved opinion of himself. And the fog and the darkness thickened.
"Why are you going to camp at Ogmore?" the lady asked. "Porthcawl or Barry is more popular, isn't it?" "That's why," I answered. "Ogmore isn't spoilt, it's much wilder." And again she smiled mildly. She must have been about 30. She wore her black raven hair parted in the middle, with a sort of bun at the back, but not school marmy at all. Her clear white skin and large dark eyes contrasted strikingly. She looked Spanish, but she was a natural Welsh beauty, speaking, though, without a trace of an accent. She must have been very rich, or married to someone very wealthy, because of the Daimler, the chauffeur, the expensive rings on her fingers, and the quality of her black summer frock. Around her neck she wore a thin silk yellow scarf, and on her ears yellow earrings. "Where do you intend camping?" she asked. "Hardeesfield." "Oh, yes." Now on the left, hills covered with ferns, some rusted by the heat, climbed away from the road. To the right, fields slanted abruptly down to the river below. The car purred along smoothly. Around each corner, the chauffeur would delicately press his hooter. Then the sea. The sea. The prettiest sight, I swear, in Glamorgan. The mouth of the river and the singing sea. The sandbanks beyond, and in a heat haze, Porthcawl stretching itself out into the water. The tide was in, and Tusker Rock could not be seen. Sometimes, across the sea, one could see the coast of Somerset, but that meant rain. Now, on the horizon, sat only a ship and the smoke of a summer afternoon. The sun threw down dazzling silver arrows, a rain of arrows into the sea. The sea.